The greatness of the Christian salvation is seen in the greatness of the one who accomplished it. Let me repeat that. The greatness of the Christian salvation is seen in the greatness of the one who accomplished it. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll be looking at the first four verses of this letter. Oftentimes, the severity or the importance of an event can be known by merely considering who is chosen to complete that task. We see this in a variety of ways. Take the Olympic Games, for example. These games give countries around the world the opportunity to compete against each other. And so dozens of nations send their most elite athletes to represent them in each sport. Because our country's security is dependent on the strength of our armed forces, before people are sent to war, they're required to complete rigorous mental and physical exercises so that only the very best soldiers ever see the battlefield. Well, likewise, we know that the salvation of sinners was such an enormous task because it took Jesus, God's own son, to accomplish it. Let's look at the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 1. Here we read, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but now he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name that he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." In these short opening verses, there are seven things that are mentioned about Jesus, the Son, through whom God spoke. But as we prepare our hearts to remember and proclaim our Lord's death, I just want to call your attention to two of those statements that are mentioned in verse 3. The first is in the second half of verse 3. And it says that Jesus sat down at God's right hand after making purification for sins. Does this statement impress you that Jesus made purification for sins? It should. Consider the words that God uses all throughout Scripture to define sinners: unclean, polluted, defiled, filthy. Because of our disobedience to God, all of these words and more can adequately describe everyone sitting in this room. But when this verse says that Jesus made purification for sins, this means that Jesus purified and perfected sinners before God. When Jesus became accountable for the sins of everyone who would entrust their soul to him, he saved those sinners by enduring the full fury of God the Father and perfecting them, all of those who would believe. This is a monumental accomplishment. And we know this because the greatness of the Christian salvation is seen in the greatness of the one who accomplished it. Let's look at the beginning of verse 3. It says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. God's glory can be described as the sum total of all of his attributes. His glory is what makes him God. And Jesus is said to be the radiance or the visible expression of that glory. Jesus is what can be seen of God. He is also the exact imprint of his nature. This means that there is nothing that God is that Jesus is not. Whatever God inherently is, his son Jesus is that as well. So, you want to know how great an achievement your salvation is? Then consider who it took to accomplish it on your behalf. It took Jesus placing his attributes, God himself placing his attributes in human flesh to save you, Christian. We were unable to rescue ourselves, and so it took divine power to save us. We don't even understand the true extent of how defiled we actually are. And so it took Jesus, who knows all things, whose understanding is said to be unsearchable, to actually seek out our sins and cleanse us from every one of them. And since we were stuck in a never-ending cycle of unfaithfulness to our Maker, our salvation required a faithful Creator to act on our behalf. If these things sound strange to you, and you don't believe that Jesus, God Himself, purified sinners 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross, then we praise God that you're here today. Please don't leave today before speaking with an elder or someone that you've seen up front this morning. We would love to share more about God's salvation. But this is communion. It's a time for believers to remember and proclaim what Jesus did on our behalf. And so we just ask that as the bread and juice come by, that you don't take any, that you would just let them pass. There's no shame in that. But Christian, as you take communion this morning, then consider these things. Consider who accomplished your salvation and rejoice as you take communion this morning. Men, please come serve us.